It's that time of the year. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, you filthy animals. Hope you all are having a great time. But it's Christmas time, which means it's time for our annual Stocking Stuffers episode. Rucker, let's party. Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I'm Tyler Metcalf, joined, as always, by Tyler Rucker. I hope everyone had a very Merry Christmas. Rucker, how are we doing?
Doing great. Merry Christmas, you filthy animals, and a Happy New Year. So it's just fantastic vibes this time of the year, Metcalf. There's basketball in the air. There's, you know, mistletoe all around. Great. It's great stuff. So I'm hoping everyone has a happy holidays, but I'm excited to do another episode with you. Podcast, baby. Draft season never stops.
Favorite Christmas movie? Go.
The Grinch with Jim Carrey. No. That's two. Christmas Vacation's number one. It can't be touched.
Strong pick.
You?
Strong pick. Old school. I'm going way back. A Year Without Santa Claus.
Wow.
I love that movie. He Miser, Snow Miser. Just, it's classic.
Home Alone's up there for me too.
Elf has really grown on me over the years.
Elf is solid. Elf is in my top five for sure.
It's just like a really solid B plus for me.
Yeah. Home Alone's great. I mean, you can't get over that one. I'm drawing a blank, but man, I could go down a rabbit hole with Christmas movies. Polar Express has always slept on. Yeah. I don't know. I'm missing a big one. You know, I'm a fan of the classics though.
All right. Well, this is our Stocking Stuffers episode. We do this every year. My favorite, because we get to dive a little deeper on some guys and spread some love outside of the top guys. Not that we don't typically do that, but it's just another excuse to. So at Christmas, you know, the big draw is the giant box under the tree. That's the big prize. That's what every kid, you know, they sprint downstairs Christmas morning to see what did Santa drop off for me. And it's, I always go to the giant box or the bicycle or the puppy, whatever it is. And, you know, this year that's AJ DeBonta, Darren Peterson, Cam Boozer. But there are always some goodies that are lurking in the stockings, whether it's specific candies or, you know, maybe a watch or a phone or back in the day, video games would get snuck in there every now and then. There's always value to be found wherever you're looking. And that's exactly what this draft is presenting as well. So these are some of our stocking stuffer prospects. Did I explain that clear enough?
I think so. I mean, if people are confused, it's like, hey, what are you, you know, you open the main event and you're like, this is great. But sometimes you really underappreciate and underestimate how awesome the stuff inside the stocking is. If your parents did it right, you know, the stocking is a magical place. Like, you get some stuff in there and you're like, whoa, I needed this. This is great. I, you know, it's not a Xbox or a PlayStation, but oh my gosh, like you said, maybe there's a couple video games in there that go with it, or, you know, the batteries that go with the remote. You never know. Like, it's you get strategic with that. So this is always one of my favorite episodes we do, because it is like, hey, yeah, there's some prospects out there that you got to make sure you don't just obsess with the top dogs and look at these guys, because they could be really good ones.
Well, right off the bat, first one, we have three that we consensusly came to agreement on, and then we're each going to throw one out there at the end. But very first one, someone we've both loved for a while now, Mr. Henry Vasar, center from North Carolina, having himself a heck of a year. The center foot, 7-footer, has a BPM of 11.1, a true shooting percentage of 70. I keep being told that he can't rebound on the defensive end, and yet somehow he has a defensive rebounding rate of 22.4. So that's bizarre. Funny how that works out. Block rate of 4.3, shooting 45.8% from three on four attempts per 100. So volume's not out of control, but efficiency, shot selection is fantastic. Combined with the rim running, the interior finishing, the rim protection. I don't know why he's one of my favorite bigs in this class, but he keeps getting slept on.
And he's having a tremendous year. I loved him last year when he was at Arizona, because they had Crivas get hurt, and all of a sudden it was like, well, you know, we got to start playing Vesar way more minutes, and he just steps up, and you're like, oh my gosh, this kid can play. And I was crushed when he said he wanted to leave, but I also understood, and man, he'd be a great weapon to have right now on that Arizona team. But he's been awesome for North Carolina, mm-hmm. and I still think this is a first-round type of big that just is going to be very desired for NBA teams. I mean, he's at 16-9 with almost 2 assists a game, 1.2 blocks. He's playing 10 more minutes a game. His turnovers are pretty much the same as last year. He's around 1.7. Last year was 1.1, so not like a humongous climb. You still like to see that he's taking care of the ball, but 64-50 on his shooting splits with, you know, 66% from the line. Obviously, if that's getting to 70%, you're gonna be thrilled. Henry can play, man. He's also more impactful than just the numbers say. Like, he is an energizer. He's a momentum shifting type of player. Makes a couple of big plays, screams until his, you know, head's going nuts and his hair's falling out and whole stadium's erupting. So I think Henry's having a great year, and I wouldn't be shocked if he's one of those bigs that just kind of some teams have much higher on their team big boards than, you know, maybe the public thinks.
Yeah, and I had a first round grade on him last year, and I was really surprised that he withdrew as quickly as he did, because I had definitely talked to at least a handful of folks around the league who were like, yeah, I like him a lot. I'm like, my guy, why aren't you exploring these options? Well, because apparently he's just going to transfer to North Carolina and have an even better year. During the preseason, we were like, oh man, that defensive pairing of him and Caleb Wilson could just feed families with their chaos and just effectiveness. And that's pretty much exactly what they're doing. I'm not going to say I'm not surprised, because the efficiency is just through the roof, but the way that he's grown his versatility as a pick and pop threat, as a spot up threat, and then combining that with his rim running and constantly putting defenders on their heels and making himself really difficult to defend in an off ball role is a really impressive development. Like, he's not going to be one of these guys that goes out there and creates his own shot, or, you know, is constantly creating for others. He's not an offensive hub, but as a play finisher who can provide not only vertical spacing, but also just horizontal spacing, that's incredibly valuable. And that's before you even factor in everything he does on defense.
I think he's a unique. Wow, that was a fun word. I was trying to create. I think he's a unique type of big where you can almost look, he's never going to be the, oh, we're starting him at the five all the time and he's going to out bully anyone. No, because Henry is it's like a finesse big with versatility. I'd love him in Minnesota, because you could almost be like, we could play him at the four with Gobert, have this little like outside in thing, and Vesar could stretch the floor. Maybe you have some fun there, or you could play him small ball. It's just funny to say five, because you're like, well, he's a 7-footer, but he's more of like a jumbo size forward, if you want to put it that way, with just like how he plays. Like, there's good mobility, and he could play a little bit more on the perimeter, but he battles inside.
Yeah.
So whenever he has some struggles, it's more just because like, oh, he's given up 30 or 40 pounds to a natural bruising center. He battles, he plays hard, but I'm always intrigued with like, you could probably get him in and be like, we could play two big lineups with him and he's a fun asset at the four, or you could probably play some small ball five out, you know, basketball with him and he's going to be a great asset. So I think some teams at the NBA level is just going to be like, this is a lineup darling. We can do some different things with him. Some coaching staff's going to be pumped.
Yeah, and I know you weren't saying this, but just so it doesn't get misconstrued, no, like, he's not soft.
No,
like,
not at all.
I know you said finesse. And
yes.
Some people, you know, you can take that word in a lot of different ways. He plays really hard, but yes, he can get pushed around a little bit. But that's just more physical limitations rather than mentality. Like you said, he fights down there. He's super tough. And I just think he's super malleable, where no matter what type of offensive or defensive scheme you run, I think he's going to be able to fit in as that kind of fringe starting level center basically anywhere. So
I, I'm with you. I think it's going to be a desired player that you're like, hey, and yes, he's not. Thank you for doing that. Sometimes it's so nice when you do that. He's not soft. Like, he plays tough, but it's just also there's times where you're like, yeah, all right, I can tell you're physically overpowered with just strength, but he also outworks people that are stronger with him because of his activity, his energy. So I like Henry a lot. I think he's going to be a guy that goes through the pre-draft process and teams are like, man, we really like Vesar. Like, it would shock me if he goes earlier than we're all expecting, you know, when the draft comes around.
Totally agree. Okay. Next guy up, another transfer, upperclassman. This time we're going to the guard spot. Mr. Ryan Conwell from Louisville. I adore this guy. Yeah, he's older. Don't care. Yeah, he kind of trends on the smaller side of shooting guards. I don't care. The way that this guy's playing this year and has grown year after year after year from his time at Xavier to now at Louisville, he has been sensational. And he's shooting 40.6% from three on almost 18 attempts per 100. That is ludicrous volume with that efficiency. But then you also see the toughness and his ability to get downhill and attack the rim and draw fouls and play within the team concept. And he's not just this undisciplined shot chucker, but he's really intelligent. He's incredibly strong. So yeah, I wish he wasn't 6'3". It'd be awesome if he was 6'5", 6'6". But he makes up for a lot of that lack in height with just pure strength and IQ and feel. So I just, every time I watch Louisville, I come away liking Conwell even more.
Conwell rocks. I don't care if he's older. I don't care if it's like, oh, he's a 6'4 shooting guard. He's listed around 6'4, 195 to 205. Dude just knows how to play basketball. He's a bucket, but I also feel like he's a bucket that, like, would it surprise me if he goes to a playoff caliber team and it's like, oh, now he's just setting up guys and is averaging, yeah, you know, six assists. Or he just seems like an absolute hooper, a gamer. And I love the way he plays. It's on ball creation, but it's also like off ball cutting, movement, just smart stuff that he looks like a nightmare to guard.
The cutting has gotten so much better because you're defending him. You know, he's this lethal shooter who's going to put it up anytime he touches it. Look at the volume, look at the efficiency. And it's like, all right, well, crap. Now I have to, play passing lanes on this guy and to play ball denial. It's like, oh, well, now he's cutting back door. And now I have to recover there. And now my teammates from the weak side's pissed because I left him out to dry and he has to rotate over. He's just a nightmare to defend off ball. And the playmaking and creation from him come from that off-ball movement, that off-ball creation, that threat of shooting, attacking closeouts, because his handle's grown so much too over the years. And he's not like a point guard, but the way that he leverages his shooting gravity, his scoring gravity, his strength and IQ in those off-ball situations to then create for guys, it's like would it be shocking if he had a Cam Spencer type of impact early in his career?
No, I wouldn't be shocking at all. I just think this is the type that, goes a little later where it's like, hey, is it the Malcolm Brogdon type of, this player that's smart, combo guard size? Because I get it's like it is even 6'4", like stocky, even that undersized today. Because I feel like it's like, well, look at all these guys around the league. They're making noise.
Yeah, I don't think when you're as strong as he is and actually play like it, it can cover up a lot.
It has been, he's never going to be too high on big boards. You're never going to find him too high. Like, people aren't going to be like, oh, I'm buying in on this 22-year-old senior guard that's at 6'4", because everyone's going to be like, well, I have questions, I have doubts. But then you watch him play and you're like, man, this I just like Conwell. Like, it's just one of those things where you watch him, you're like, dude just knows how to play basketball. And I would be, no matter where he ends up, I feel like I'm going to be like, this could be a robbery. This could be a steal.
Yeah.
It's one of those like redraft guys where we're like, oh, Conwell ended up with the Denver Nuggets. What was everyone thinking? Like, Conwell ended up with Boston or some team like that, or the classic, the Thunder take him with their 14th first round pick, and we're like, they don't need another guard. And then in 2 years, it's like, oh, Conwell turned into the next version of AJ Mitchell. So I just like how he plays the game of basketball.
Which sets us up perfectly for a little bit of a little bit of this or that. Because you say you're never going to find him too high, but how high is too high? So, Rucker, I ask you, this or that, Ryan Conwell or Carter Knox?
Ryan Conwell.
Ryan Conwell or Dame Sarr?
Ryan Conwell. Keep it going. Could do Ryan, this all day.
Ryan Conwell or Dash Daniels?
Ryan Conwell.
Ryan
Thank
Conwell.
You, man. Have another.
Ryan Conwell or Braden Burries?
Braden Burries, but they're like two apart.
Ryan Conwell or Malik Thomas?
Ryan Conwell. Arkansas fans. T. Metcalf 11.
Hey, I'm just asking the questions. Ryan Conwell or Paul McNeil?
Conwell for me.
You? Ryan Conwell or Isaiah Evans?
Isaiah Evans right now, but I don't like that answer.
Okay.
Hit me with your answers.
I have Conwell at 28, so I'll let folks figure out.
That's cheap.
Do the mental math.
That's cheap. I got him at 26, so.
But I think once you kind of get into the 20s with a guy like that, it's just like, well, he's good at basketball. Can he contribute? Yeah. Can he be our eighth man? Yeah. So why get cute with it? And he's going to be the classic type of player where it's like, no, just go get a good basketball player.
Look, me and you talked before we hit record. I was like, hey, I have my 18. I was like, I love my board, how it's shaping up. But then I get to like 18 to 20. Four, I want to stab my own eyes with a fork. And I'm like, right after that, it's Ryan Conwell. And I'm like, you stare at all these guys and you're like, well, at some point, when are you being like, well, give me the higher floor guys right now on my board than the guys that, you know, haven't lived up to expectations as freshmen this year? Like, I love Malik Thomas. And it's like, it's been ugly lately. Still believing, but like Malik's mm-hmm. moved down on my board. So like that's where the range right now in this draft is. Like, next couple of months, we're going to find out with conference play coming up and stuff. It's like, who's separating themselves to really make like, okay, this top 25, we keep saying the top 25 now is you need to be like cemented as a top 25 player, or you're probably going to go back. A lot of these freshmen, I feel like, are really flirting with that line right now. And I'm like, then Ryan Conwell's up, you know, hey, I know you guys might be nervous, but I'm ready to roll right now. What about me?
And a lot of these freshmen too, it's like the incentive of going back with the NIL and a lot of these collectives is way more enticing than it ever has been. So it makes life a little easier for them. And these NBA teams with the second apron stuff, it's like, all right, well, if we can get this upperclassman who we know has one or two elite skills, can contribute in some form or fashion pretty much right away, and we have him incredibly cheap for the next 4 to 5 years, it's tough to pass up, especially when you're like in the 20s there. So
it's a great draft philosophy question moving forward that I'm ecstatic to see in the next couple of years, because I do think, like, I think there's going to be a little bit of a curve mm-hmm. with drafting these upperclassmen. Not saying that they're going to start, teams are going to start taking them like a nine and stuff, but I'm like, well, no. It just might be that first round you start taking them a little bit more earlier, and we'll see. But hey, Ryan Conwell's great. I love him. Great guy. Love to have him on the pod. Shout out Ryan. Shout out Louisville.
Well, an upperclassman who also fits into all those buckets, Mr. Chase Ross from Marquette, who's having a roller coaster season. The 6'5 wing guard, whatever you want to classify him as, got out to a scorching hot start, just playing incredible basketball. Has cooled off a little bit, but I think a lot of that is more reliant and due to context than talent and what he's capable of, and more so what he's being asked to do. I really like Chase Ross, and he's another one of these guys where every single season he just gets a little bit better in areas that actually matter for his ultimate NBA translation.
Where do you have him? Trust tree within the nest.
Middle of the second, like in the 40s.
Okay, I have him at 32. I love Chase Ross. I think what he's doing this year is unbelievable. And it's like, look, people will hear me say this right now and be like, Tyler, he's shooting 29% from three. And I'll be like, yeah, but look at what is being asked of him and look at what he has been doing for this Marquette team. Coming into the year, I was like, man, this is going to be ugly for Chase Ross if he survives this. Because look, I'm going on a little rant here, Metcalf. I'm sorry. 2 years ago, he's a fantastic Swiss Army knife piece for Marquette. They've got Tyler Kolek. They've got Osu Igodaro. They've got Cam Jones.
Omax.
Who else?
Prosper.
Omax, Kolek, Oso, gone to the NBA. Now it's Cam Jones getting all the attention, and Chase Ross is now becoming Robin to Batman. Cam Jones leaves. And then this year they're like, hey, we didn't really get anybody else in here. Do you want to just have all of the heavy lifting? And this, look, Chase Ross, I loved him before, but I was like, he's not that guy to just be like, you're going to take over everything offensively. I was like, this could be rough. For him to have every year he gets way better, not just on the court, but also in the box scores. He's gone from 4 to 6 to 10 to now 16 points per game. The turnovers are pretty great, like numbers for like where you'd want it. But like his numbers this year at 16, almost 17, 4 and 3 with almost 2 steals a game. I know he's shooting 29% from three. It was at one point like 38% where I was like, Chase is not keeping this up, but it's an unbelievable climb. He'll bounce back. I think he's on a little cold streak, but 76% from the free throw line, like 42%. I'm putting that from the field is a little bit more of like, he's being asked to do a ton. So
yeah,
I think this is the guy that this is an unbelievable year for his development for the NBA. I think he's going to get to the next level and be the 6'5 pit bull. That's like, I can give you some versatility, but let me fly a little bit on defense and create some chaos. And this is the top of the sleeper list for me. You have been on this. Corey was on this before. I did the Thrill of the Chase article a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Chase Ross is an easy second round guy. I'd just go jump all over. Probably might sneak into that first. You never know.
Yeah, and he's the guy that I constantly have to remind myself, just what's the context? Because it's not conducive to who he is as a player, like you just outlined. I like Nigel James, their freshman point guard, a lot. Yeah. Kid rocks. He's a freshman. Like, it is what it is. And he's not one of these top 10 potential draft pick freshmen. He's just a freshman who's a good basketball player. And Marquette's in this kind of transition year, and Chase Ross was unfortunately the guy who kind of got left behind, but because everyone else went to the pros. And when we saw him in that off ball complimentary role, he did really good stuff. And now he's being allowed to really explore his skill set, expand upon what he's worked on. His rim pressure rocks. It's gotten better every year. And that's highlighted, you know, by his free throw rate of 61.3, which is super high. And the fact that he has a usage of 25.6, an assist rate of 22.3, and being used as this wing creator when that's not who he is, and still has a turnover rate under 15, is really, really encouraging. So, yeah, it'd be great if the 38% from three maintained. We kind of always knew it wouldn't, but when you put him as that energy guy off the bench, it's like, all right, what could this really look like? Could we get a Jalen Clark type of outcome there? Could we get a Josh Okogie type of outcome there? Could we get a Keon Ellis type of outcome there? And I think those are more so the players that need to be looked at. And those are guys who, you know, that archetype is ones that typically fall a little bit in the draft because they're not the sexiest. They didn't have the best numbers in college, but they translate. They do all the stuff on a team that someone has to do. And it's a really tough, but, you know, competent way to make a really good living and carve out a really good role on winning teams.
I just, you look at a lot of his numbers, and if you know, obviously the 3-point percentage, we'd like it to be, you know, mid 30s ish for Chase Ross would be unbelievable. But you look at a lot of the numbers and they're right what you want to see. And I just, I think this kid has sleeper potential all over. I really, really do. So I'm with you. It's a big reminder every time of the context. What's the context? And I was nervous preseason looking at Chase Ross and being like, oh man, they're going to have him drinking from a fire hose. And yeah. I just don't, and it's nothing against Chase, but it was just like, I don't know if this is the thing for him, but it's proving to be a tremendous developmental thing for both Chase Ross and a great pitch for, you know, Marquette is just being like, we're going to have another dude coming through. And that's a good recruiting fit. Like, look at all these guys that they stay, they keep working on their game and they just are ready to roll. So I think we could look back and be like, Chase Ross is one of the best Marquette players that had the most success at the NBA level in this last couple of years. I really do believe that. So love that. This is a good shout out.
Okay.
Who's your guy? We've got one each right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We got to pivot into our own personal recommendations.
Is this like it's not inside the stocking, but you hit it behind the couch and you're like, oh, looks like there's one more.
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's like that card that your grandparent left in the, put in the tree for some reason. And
you didn't buy this
present. Your parents are like, did you find grandma's card? Like, no, because why am I looking on the backside of the tree? Did that ever happen? Sorry, that's so
hard. My parents gave me a couple of like the, oh, looks like this one fell behind the couch.
Yeah.
Like, wow. The one gift that you're looking for, it's like, oh, that one lasted till the end. Like basically in Christmas Story, one of my all-time favorite movies, when they're like, looks like there's one gift behind the piano. Like, why would I look behind that?
Yeah, well, mine. I just caught up a whole lot on NC State. Shout out Paul McNeil, starting to shoot. But that's not my guy. Instead, I'm going Kadir Copeland, who is having himself just an insane season so far. So Copeland came over from McNeese State this year, first year with the Wolfpack, 6'6", basically playing point guard for them. BPM 9.7, usage of 26, true shooting percentage of 69.1, effective field goal rate 65.8, assist rate of 38.4, turnover rate 20.2, steal rate 2.8, free throw rate 65.3, shooting 61% from two, 54.2% from three on only 3.9 attempts per 100. So volume is very low. He's never been a big time shooter. That's probably going to tail off pretty aggressively. But I love the way this dude plays. He's super crafty on ball, is a really dynamic and creative playmaker at his size. It's been one of the more pleasant surprises for me in this draft.
Definitely a name I need to be getting a little bit more caught up on, but this is also the fun time of year when we're like, hey, I found a guy, really like him. I'm intrigued. And that's the beauty of, you know, getting caught up on film and watching around. You're like, hey, I actually like this guy. And then you're like, oh, I actually have some games I can watch from beginning of the year and not just like, oh, this is one game I have to wait. So Copeland's a good shout. I'm intrigued to dive a little deeper. Been holding off my NC State obsessive dives as long as possible because I feel like those guys were all going to be triggering evaluations because it seems like all of them have been roller coasters. But now you have my attention.
Yeah, and Paul McNeil's knocking down shots at an insane rate, so that always helps things. But and Copeland's just totally taken over this team. Like, it is very clearly his show to run, and rightfully so, because he's a walking paint touch, plays really well off of 2 feet, like does a great job utilizing that pivot foot, drawing contact, getting defenders off balance, finding unique windows to either finish at the rim or kick out to teammates, and then a feisty, frenetic on-ball defender with that size as well. The off-ball defense might be a total disaster. I think I might kind of hate it, like, a lot.
Wow.
It's bad.
If you're promoting a guy like this with not liking the part of his defense that much, then I'm probably
the on ball stuff's fun. The on ball defense is good. The off ball, he kind of just spaces out a lot.
Okay.
But he's also creating a ton on offense. So it's like, all right, a little bit of trade off.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know. But the offensive stuff has been a blast. I'm really curious to see what it looks like when he's not shooting 54% on low volume, but everything else, just like the process of how he gets into stuff on that end of the floor has been an absolute joy.
I like that. That's a good shout.
Okay. Who do you have for your recommendation?
Look, I'm going with a guy that I've liked him before, and then I saw him in person and I was just like, I'm in, I don't care. This is going to be a highway robbery. Whatever team he lands with, we're going to do a redraft down the years and be like, why did he fall this late? Blah, blah, blah. So I just like the way he plays. And it's one that if he goes second round, I'm expecting, I would sleep like a baby if my team took a swing and, you know, you missed on this one, but I think this could be a home run. I'm going to go Emmanuel Sharp. From Houston. I liked him before Metcalf, as I just said, and saw him in person. And I was like, dude, I'm in, pretty much all in. Like, I would be finding a way to add Emmanuel Sharp in the second round. He's more of a two.
Yeah.
At 6'3. So, like, but he's 6'3, 205, tough, plays like a pit bull. Everyone's going to be like, well, he's more an off-ball guard than a point guard. And you're like, okay, fine. But, like, I'm also at the point where I'm like, well, if I feel like a lot of teams are getting to that point where it's like combo guards. Just give me combo guards. We'll figure out who could, you know, run the offense or set up. Do I think Emmanuel Sharpe could set up an offense? Absolutely. I think he's pretty fine with that. But the shooting is legit. He's pulling up from different zip codes this year. He's tough. He makes winning plays. There's a lot of good stuff with his game that I'm like, I think this is going to transition and he's going to be a really nice piece off the bench for a team. So I just like Sharp. System fit, you know, where he's been, the mindset. And every time I watch a game, like even if the shot's not falling, he's making the right play.
He's so much fun. Yeah. Last year, I did the really stupid thing of trying to call my shot and be like, Emmanuel Sharp's going to return first round value. And that was like right before the tournament where he went ice cold. So I was like, God, you son of a. he's back to his old ways of 16 threes per 100 at 41.3%. And it's not just standstill stuff in the corner. He's running off screens, DHOs, pulling up in transition. The second he crosses midcourt, he's got the green light. And now I think we're seeing a little more this year of him, especially these last couple weeks, like attacking those closeouts, running off screens to get downhill, initiate a little bit of contact. He's never been great at that, but I think that's something with his strength, with his physicality, that he can continue to explore a little more. It's just tough when a guy who's that lethal of a shooter, it's like, well, why wouldn't I just get 3 points instead? instead of getting swatted at the rim by this 7'2", 25-year-old European who's now apparently eligible. But then even on the defensive end, that's where I get like the pit bull mentality that you mentioned. Like, he's strong. Like, yeah, he's 6'3", but similar to Conwell, like, he's got really good positional strength, like, and he'll get into guys. He moves his feet well. He defends with his chest, really physical, bumps guys off their spots. He just rocks.
I mean, his numbers are all like better than I even was expecting too. Like, BPM the last 2 years, over 12. His turnovers, he's never had more than 1.1 turnover a game. Or a year in 4 years. 3-point percentage has climbed every single year. His numbers are just awesome. And then, like, his career, he's at almost 86% from the free throw line. Dude just could shoot. And then I think he's just a player that's even better than his numbers. And I that's where I buy in. I'm like, yeah, he's going to be a floor spacing asset off the bench. He's smart to know, understand, like, his shot and not his specialty. He doesn't try to be something he's not. Mm-hmm. And then defensively, it's just like, let the dogs loose. Like, is he like, is the pit bull, So I just see a very easy way of like, oh, you get your guy in the first and you add Emmanuel Sharpe in the second. And we can look back a couple years and be like, that was the best draft. You know, like maybe one of these, a team in the top three, you land one of these guys, you know, and you add Emmanuel Sharpe to the mix. Like, oh, Washington got Cam Boozer and Emmanuel Sharpe. You're like, that was the best draft haul.
Even a team like Houston, I think, what he'd be freaking perfect for. Like, they don't have a whole lot of floor spacers, but you just throw him out there with how well that offense has been running, with how much size they have out there, plus his mentality on defense. It's like, oh, yeah, he's going to fit like a glove.
There's a big part of me when I'm scouting and more in person, like I get to a point where if I really like a guy and it's like an upperclassman and stuff, I'm like, if I put him in on a court with, you know, four NBA guys right now, does he stick out in a bad way? And I'm like watching Manuel Sharpe, and I'm like, no, he probably fits like a glove.
Yeah.
So he understands his specialty, when to get his shots. And I'm playing with Kevin Durant. We're going to feed Kevin Durant the ball. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like that's just a mental game I do sometimes. I'm like, could he just easily? And I'm more saying like pickup too. Like, oh, mm-hmm. Pickup wise, could he just play that flow? And there is a little bit more than that in the NBA than we realize. And I just watched Sharpe, and I'm like, man, this is a gamer. This kid he's going to figure it out. And maybe he gets dropped in the second round and they send him to the G League. And it's like, oh, Emmanuel Sharpe's really good. We should not have him in the G League. But it's also just seems like a guy that, you know, we find out at summer league, we're like, oh yeah, Emmanuel Sharpe's going to be a dude, just like at Houston. He's going to be a dude again.
All right. Well,
oh, what a transfer.
There we go. What
a transition. Unbelievable.
And obviously after we open presents, we're going to the club, specifically the No Ceilings Green Room, the most exclusive club in niche basketball world.
I 100% make it a quote graphic on that. No, we're not going to get it. I'm like, this is the best graphic we've ever made.
No more than 14 guys get in. It is not our lottery rankings. It is based off of vibes, production, prestige, upside, potential, vibes. Once you're in, easiest way to get booted, injury, a la Darren Peterson. Hope your rehab is going well. We're eager to see you back. Currently in there, we only have six guys. We can only add one per week. Currently in there, Koa Pete, Caleb Wilson, LeBaron Filon, Cam Carr, AJ Devonsa, Darius Acuff.
Gosh, what great timing by us to get AJ in, huh? It's a good list. You know, it's a good list. Like that. Anyone out? Anyone good for you?
I don't think so.
Okay, we're still good there.
Koa Pete's still on the fringe for me, but
he has too much street cred right now.
He hasn't done anything where it's like, oh, gross. It's just like, meh, okay.
Yeah.
So he's good. He's good.
He's fine. He's fine.
But he's not lighting up the dance floor, you know.
No one's promoting it. You know, hey, you should come to the green room, Koa Pete. We're not getting a lot of those. It's more like, hey, Caleb Wilson and AJ are here.
Yeah.
Koa's just like a good complimentary piece right now.
In line, we have Cam Boozer, Hans Steinbeck, Adai Mara, Kingston Flemings, Thomas Hauck, Braylon Mullins, Yaxel Lendeberg, Keaton Wagler, Tyler Tanner, Braden Burries. Anyone you want to boot from the line?
Burries.
Okay. Wow.
The vibes are Arizona keeps winning. He just got a little cold. I jumped the gun on that one a little bit. You know, he stood in line and he's like, okay, let's, you know, talk to his friend. He's like, maybe we'll go check out a couple spots and we can come back, get in line. Like, the night's young. So that's no problem. Anyone for you?
I think Adai Mara has to go.
Wow.
He hasn't been bad, but
he's just stuck.
Yeah.
But is Mara and Steinbeck creating this chemistry in line that we're like, hey, we can't break this up? No. Your answer is no.
No.
So let's just keep moving. Mara, gone. Well, you know, we might need to clean the line a little bit. Are we getting to that point?
Say that again. You cut off for a quick second.
I said we might need to cut. We might need to house clean the line a little bit. I feel like the line was getting pretty lengthy.
It got a little inflated. Anyone else? Cam Boozer.
How do we not have him in? It's unbelievable. It's a great joke. Okay. That Boozer's in.
In line.
My. My. Who you met? You read a couple names, and I was like, "Oh, they might need to go."
Tyler Tanner, Keaton Wagler, Yaxel, Braylon Mullins, Thomas Howe, Kingston Flemings, Hans Steinbeck.
I think Mullins has another week in line.
I think Hans needs to go.
Wow!
Because they just lost to like Seattle, didn't they?
Nirvana. great joke. Wow, but this isn't the team. This is the player.
Yeah, they lost 70-66 to
What did Hans do in that game though?
The same thing he always does, 12 rebounds, 15 points.
Oh, so we're kicking that out because Hans played good?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the episode in which the line gets really
You went 5 for 13.
We can cut Hans.
5 for 13 against Seattle?
We can cut Hans.
5 for 13. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm getting emotional now.
Hans out.
He'll be back.
Wow. Well, then I think we got to cut Mullins out then.
Okay.
I love Mullins, but I don't think he's done enough to just be in line nonstop. All right. Love him. Probably, you know, that's a top 10 guy for me right now.
Same. Okay, who do you want to put in line? My easy nomination is going to be Christian Anderson.
I was going to nominate Christian Anderson.
He was incredible against Duke.
Hopefully, Nason, you know, on our team can be excited with the Christian Anderson love we're giving right now. So I would say Christian Anderson has got to be in line.
Agreed.
Trying to see if I got anybody else for the line. Yeah, I got one.
Hit me.
Joshua Jefferson.
Okay.
Pretty good vibes. Pretty good vibes. I think he's going up a little bit. Yeah, good vibes. Iowa State guys are always fun.
Elevates everyone around him. Iowa State, great party school.
You said it great. Elevates everybody around him. We need those. We need some vibe replacements. So we get Hans out of there. He's bummed about the Seattle loss. We get Joshua Jefferson in there, who's Hansel hot. it's a good combo.
Okay.
That's did you have anyone? Oh, you said Christian Anderson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's getting in?
I'm going to say Wagler.
Wow.
He's red hot.
He is.
He's red hot. Who else are you thinking?
I was going to nominate Christian.
Wow, that's a good one too. And I'm also a little shocked we haven't had Yaxel in.
The problem is that he just keeps doing the same thing every week at an insane level. And it's like, all right, well, we can get him next week.
I know, but it's like going to be unfair when he cools down and we're like, well, Yaxel's cooled down. And we're like, we should have had him in for 8 weeks.
It's like, well, he's not shooting 45% from three anymore, so. This guy's a bum.
I just watched his tape and it's so good.
It's so good.
And I'm like, why?
He's playing insane basketball right now.
I would probably.
So it should be Yaxel.
I think it's Yaxel. Wow. I like Christian Anderson. He had a really big game. Vibes very high, but like Yaxel's vibes are like top player of the country vibes right now.
Yeah.
And then there's Cam Boozer.
We're still trying to find him after that 6.5 minute mark in the second half against Texas Tech. He just disappeared. So.
Unbelievable.
Please.
Hey, serious question. Do we need this is my favorite quote from anybody at No Ceilings. Albert always likes to say we need a grown up in the room. Is Yaxel the grown up that needs the green room? Like we need in the green room? Like we have a bunch of kids in there.
We do. It's
please drink responsibly.
Yes.
But is Yaxel the guy that could kind of be like, hey, let me get him under my wing. I've been around, you know.
Yeah, because he's been there before. He knows how to act. He's not getting out
before.
He's not getting out over his skis. He's not getting, you know, too excited. And
wow, we need to start making like 2-time green room recipient. You know, that'd be hilarious stats. I'm gonna say Yaxel.
He knows how to carry himself in there. You know, he's gonna treat it with respect while still having fun and. making sure everyone around him has fun. And
almost like having an extra security guard in there, you know, player coach in the green room. Unbelievable. I like this. Good vibes. Christian Anderson is probably in line. It's hard, you know, but like, yeah. So what else do we want from the guy?
Yeah.
Like, he should have probably been in after players era, but we put somebody else in that was like, oh yeah, they deserve to be in.
Who was that? Would that have been
Cam Carr?
No, probably Cam Carr or Phylon. It's probably Cam Carr.
Yeah, we might have been right after that. I don't know. But Yax has got to be in.
Yeah.
Okay. This is good. I feel good.
Okay. So currently in the green room, Koa Pete, Caleb Wilson, LeBaron Phylon, Cam Carr, AJ DeBonsa, Darius Akoff, Yaxel Lindeberg.
What a list.
Just an incredible.
He gets better every week.
An incredible accumulation of names. And reminder, folks, not our lottery rankings. But that'll do it for us. We'll be back next week. No night shift this week because the games are pooey and it's the holidays. So hopefully everyone had an awesome holiday, continue to have an awesome and safe holiday through New Year's. We have an awesome promo going on at for No Ceilings Plus subscribers, 50% off. Check out the No Ceilings Twitter. You have to use that link specifically to get 50% off. I'll make sure to throw it in the description of this as well, but 50% off, heck of a deal. Access to exclusive articles, our individual big board rankings, our exclusive Discord, and a whole bunch of other stuff, discounts come draft guide season. So check it out. It runs through New Year's, and then it's gone forever. So take advantage of it while you can. But until next week, he is Tyler Rucker. You can follow him at Tyler_Rucker. I'm Tyler Metcalf. You can follow me at TMetcalf11. Find all of our stuff, No Ceilings YouTube, NoCeilingsNBA.com, No Ceilings Twitter, all that good stuff. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe, rate, review, 5 stars, all that good stuff. Until next time, see ya.